But is it?
I don't know. Do you reckon it is?
It's obvious.
Do you think so? Let's find out. Let's just find out.
All right.
Join Liz on Are You Looking At Me? Thursday, 4 to 5, as she looks at being equal and different.
Good afternoon and welcome to Are You Looking At Me? It's Liz here, Liz Wright, and I am joined in the studio with Christine Stowe. Hello, Christine. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Liz, and it's really great to be here. Thanks for having me along.
Oh, no problem at all. Now, thank you to Beth for Radical Philosophy. That's fantastic. We've had 2 weeks of Disability Focus Show, and as everybody knows, today is December the 3rd, International Day for People with Disability, a UN-sanctioned day to talk about all things disability and, you know, raise awareness and bring those disability sort of questions into the forefront. We've had a lot of broadcasting today and it finishes at 6:30, and I'm pretty pleased to say, I mean, it's a disappointment for other radio stations, but 3CR are the forerunners in dedicating a whole day to disability broadcasting. Now, Christine, you are a counsellor out at Whittlesey.
That's right, yes, and I've been part of the Whittlesey Disability Network for about 10 years there now as well.
Wow, that's amazing. How did you get involved as a local resident?
As a local resident, I've got a daughter with special needs. Her name's Imogen, and she's got a muscle condition, so she doesn't walk or talk. And I got involved by going along to the Disability Network when I moved back over to the city of Whittlesey 10 years ago.
Where did you move back from?
Spotswood. I was over in
over in the west. Yeah. And did you join because you had stuff you wanted to talk about and you wanted to be with other people who were carers and people with disability, or what was your motivation?
I absolutely had things to talk about. At the time, I identified that there weren't holiday programs for my daughter. While there was holiday programs for normal children, there wasn't a program where my daughter with special needs could go. Once they turn 12, then you know the children don't have holiday programs. So I advocated way back then in 2004, 2005 to get a holiday program. And now the Whisker program's been running since about 2006 at the YMCA. So it's something we're very proud of.
Oh, that's amazing. And what does the acronym stand for? Obviously, Whittlesey, W-H-I.
W-H is Whittlesey.
I can't remember. It's been going so long.
Yeah, activity program, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. And is that run every holiday program, every holiday season in between school holidays and over the Christmas period?
Absolutely. It runs all school holidays. It doesn't run for the whole school holidays, but it's also expanded now, I'm pleased to say, into other programs for teenagers and after-school programs. So it's really gone great guns.
Oh, that's fantastic. And how many do you know? Look, I'm asking you statistics and you don't need to answer with statistics, but it's grown, it's expanded. And how many places do you think there are?
There's 12 places in the holiday program itself, but I'm not sure how big the youth – they call it Whisker Teen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many that program accommodates, but it's expanded. As my daughter Imogen's grown older, the program's expanded too.
Oh, that's fantastic. And does she love going?
Yeah, she does when she goes there.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. As a counsellor and also, you know, with a special interest in disability, how have you found it is to talk about disability or keep disability on the radar? Local government has a lot of priorities. Local government has, you know, a lot of needs to meet with the local community.
I think just being at the table, I've noticed since being on council, because I was vocal and I was elected 18 months ago, so I haven't been on council all that long, but just being at the table makes a difference, because when we're talking about issues that we're going to vote on at council, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about the disability, the access issues, the access for the wheelchair and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But also the other people around the table know very well what I'm there for. So they'll often turn to me and say, and what do you think? Or Christine would like a ramp or those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So often I don't even have to say it. It's just by being there. And I've said since I got involved in politics that we have to be at the big table where those decisions are being made.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. It's, you know, you don't just want to be part of some consultative committee that, you know, isn't making the decisions ultimately. You know, I don't know how many times we've been involved with things and it sort of comes down to the decree of not this time, kids, you know, next time. So being at the table is really helpful.
Or they nod and say, yes, we understand, but they don't. You can see that they don't really get it.
Yeah. So how do you manage that? Like there's an element of diplomacy that you have to tread when you're a representative. So how's it work for
Look,
you?
Look, I think I often say my background in with a Bachelor of Science and my Master's of Business Administration have given me that rationale. Like I think I'm a square thinker, a rational type thinker. So I often bring that to the table and so I can work through things. So I think that that's how I, you know, am able to talk people around. And, you know, I'm a pretty tough advocate sometimes.
Oh, that's great. And you've got another daughter as well. And yep. you were telling me just before we came on air that she's finished school for the year and ready, been doing exams. Yep. Siblings play a really big role in a family where there's a child with a disability too.
Absolutely.
And how's she going?
Well, my older daughter, I think, was sent to be there and be a sibling for Imogen. Her name's Auraria. And she advocates for siblings and to make sure that siblings' needs are being met. I've seen an impact on Auraria in having a sister with disabilities, things like going to teenage parties and things like that. It's a bit of a, well, it's a big, you know, organisation organising to get around Imogen's needs. Like we can't just all jump in the car and get off to the party. You know, it's like organising Desert Storm sometimes. But I see the impact on Auraria having a sibling that you can't play with or you can't interact, it makes a difference for those social skills as she's been developing.
Yeah.
So she's a really strong advocate as well for sibling needs. And in fact, she won the Young Carers Award for Victoria, the National Young Carers Award for Victoria on Monday. So we're very excited.
And tell me, with the Young Carers Award, how did that all unfold? So she was nominated, obviously.
Yeah, nominated for the award and it was Carers Victoria who presented at Parliament House.
Lovely.
On Monday. So it was so exciting. I was a bit overwhelmed.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
So did the whole family go?
It was Auraria and I went there. Imogen went to school and then we went and met Imogen after.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I might go to a couple of little montages we've got for Disability Day today, which, you know, we're really trying to promote the voice of disability. And there's been some lovely production of some montages. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit more to Christine Stowe, who's here because there's another motive we have for having Christine here. Christine's just written a book, which is amazing. So, just have a listen to this.
Disability Day on 3CR, 12 hours of community radio by, for and about people with disability.
Hi, I'm Des McIntosh. December the 3rd is International Day of People with Disability.
So don't assume just because a deaf person is deaf, they can't be interviewed on radio. They can.
What if you couldn't piss unless I said so? What if you couldn't eat unless I fed you real slow? And what?
You know, I'm not a fan of what they've replaced cripple with. Special needs? Really? If there's one thing I've learnt being a cripple, it's that special is just a code word for shit. Special schools, shit. Special buses, shit.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM on International Day of Persons with, well, they call it disabilities. I don't.
So do me a favour, babe. Spend your life in my world.
And I guess that's the thing too, is that the voice of disability is many and varied. We all use different words and, you know, I just guess it's our collective presence that makes a difference where people are speaking and writing. And you've written a book, Christine.
Yes, I have. It's called Not Just Imogen's Mother.
Oh, that's actually a great title, I believe, because you can just become wrapped up as being labelled as the carer.
That's right.
And not as an individual woman who has her own life and interests as well as is a carer.
That's right. And one of the things that I say in the book is that I didn't want to be defined by the disability or defined by disability. So I wanted to get out there and offer what I had to to offer to the community. I wanted to be engaged and valued. So writing the book has been a journey for me, but it's also giving me a great opportunity to talk to other carers, talk to politicians, and find our value in the world.
How long does it take you? Has it taken you to write the book? Obviously, you've thought about it for a long time.
I thought about writing a book for a long time. It took 18 months. It was a program that I entered into. I went to a writing workshop, and it came out of that. So
did you?
Said, yeah,
that's really heartening. Yeah. For all those people that do classes and things to think, out of it, the outcome is that you've actually done it. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So it gives you some structure and form. As I say, I think I'd thought about it before, and toyed with writing down chapters, but this actually gave me the structure and form and then the journey to get there and the end result I'm really pleased with.
And where is it being sold, and when are you launching it, all of the details?
It's being sold on the net at the moment. I've got a website, christinestowe.com.au, or on my Facebook page. It's being launched next Friday by Senator Fifield, Friday the 11th of December.
Fantastic.
By Senator Fifield. So it was pretty exciting to get secure Senator Fifield. He said, I'm no longer the Minister for Disabilities, but it does fit with my new portfolio on communication and arts.
Oh, that's brilliant. And where are you launching it at?
It's at the Publisher's House in Montmorency at Busy Bed Publishing.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And what do you do for a book launch?
We're going to have some speeches. So Senator Fifield's going to talk about the book. I'm going to talk a little bit about the book. And then we're going to drink champagne.
Oh, that's a great celebration. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you write about your own journey, and it includes your children, do you find like it's a bit scary sharing that kind of intimacy? Like it is, it's quite intimate to write about yourself and your family, I think.
Yes, it was. And there was parts of the book that I took out.
Yeah.
So it is, you have to take a step back and think what other people might think.
Yeah.
So it was very personal. And then once it got to production, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
With the book, how has – I'm sorry, I always get your older daughter's name.
Auraria.
How does Auraria think about – what has she thought about the book? Has she read it?
No, she hasn't read it, but she contributed to the sibling chapter. She's very –
fantastic.
Very strong ideas about siblings. So – she was a contributing factor to the sibling chapter. I think she wants to be recognised in her own right, which I think is fair enough. She's 16 and quite a forthright young woman. So she wants to be recognised in her own right.
Has she been part of sibling groups as well?
Yes, she has. She's been going to sibling groups run by Melbourne City Mission and Carers Links Victoria. And one of the things that she says is that being at school with other children who don't understand as much as they try to, or being in a sibling group normalises it for her, because she gets to speak about the issues that with other kids that get it, that understand, and it sort of normalises things.
Yeah, and I think it's really nice to have that relaxed conversation with someone where you're not constantly explaining and defining things, because they get it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's also that stuff about, you're so special, being a special sister sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're with other kids, it's just...
it's just like my turn, your turn.
Yeah, one of the crew.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. All right, we're going to a track and then we'll come back. We're talking to Councillor Christine Stowe, who is now the author of a book called Not Just Imogen's Mother. It's lovely to have her here on International Day for People with Disability.
has always been and always will until the end. Hello, 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 hello. With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious. What it takes, and yet I guess it makes me smile. I found it hard, it's hard to find. Oh, well, whatever, never mind. Hello, 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 hello. The empty hand of innocence transfusing street of the sorrow. Children of the wood, hounded, shredding all veils, unwinding all sheets of the dead world, droning, overturning tables, laden with silver sacrificial birds, beating goatskin drums, advancing with hands outstretched, and we keep filling them with mercury, nitrate, asbestos, baby bombs, blasting blue, scavengers picking through the ashes, children of the mills, children of the junkyards, sleepy, illiterate, fuzzy little rats, haunted paint, sniffing, stoned out of their shaved heads, forgotten, foraging, mystical children, foul mouth, glassy-eyed, hallucinating.
Hi, my name is Tommy Edison, and you're listening to Are You Looking At Me with Liz Wright, right here on 3CR.
Ooh, you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
And that was Tommy Edison, who was the blind film critic who was out for the other film festival at the end of last year, who I was lucky enough to meet, which was lovely. I'm Liz Wright and I'm in the studio here today on 3CR with Councillor Christine Stowe from the, is it the City of Whittlesea or the Shire of Whittlesea?
City of Whittlesea.
City of Whittlesea. Now, we've just, I was just asking you in the song, you could, like whether or not you could live in Whittlesea without a car. You don't think so?
No, that...
Like, is there buses or...
There's buses to Whittlesea, but Whittlesea is fairly rural. Mm. You could live in Whittlesea as long as you spent most of your time there, and it's a gorgeous little community. I think they're quite embracing.
What's the population, do you think?
Of Whittlesea?
Yeah, roundabout.
I think it's about 130,000. We're growing. Mm. 60 well, babies a week are born out there.
Oh, so you're very similar demographic to Wyndham.
That's right,
which is, you're both green wedges.
Yep, on the edge of the city, green wedges and... growth in population.
Wow. So as a member of the Disability Network, what how does that network work and how do you, you know, do you, that network advises council, does it?
That's or? Right. They develop a disability action plan that goes over 3 years. So they come together for workshops and talk about what things they'd like to see happen in the community, like it might be better bus stops or more bus stops, ramps here or some advocacy around parking. They've done a lot of advocacy around disabled parking.
Yeah.
So that goes into the plan and then it comes up on the agenda. They meet every month and people who are interested in disability, they can be service providers or carers or people with disabilities come to the table and they go around the table and everybody has an input into what they've been doing through the month and what issues are topical.
And how do you, as a council... well, you know, through that network, how do you measure how well the City of Whittlesea is travelling as far as delivery of improvements? So your action plan makes you accountable, obviously, but, you know, sometimes things are ongoing or funds have to be diverted. Like when the bushfires were on a few years ago, that was chaos. And Whittlesea was one of the councils that was, you know, a huge recovery area, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were hugely impacted and it was tragic to be in the community at that time as people that we're close to. But in terms of the Disability Action Plan, how are we accountable? We look at the action plan and how much we've achieved, how much of that goal, for example, is it more disabled parks or is it, you know, more bus stops? How much of that has been achieved over the last 3 years? And they use that as a basis to move forward. And they do achieve most of their goals through from the Disability Action Plan. And
great.
The people that convene the Metro Access Worker and Steve Bell. And
he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's brilliant. They do a great job to manage the meeting. There's a lot of colourful characters. Everybody's got different
That's
things.
That's a euphemism, everybody.
No, they're gorgeous. Like, yeah. You know, they're sort of like a family.
Yeah. And I think, pardon me, it's very good to have feisty personalities with big opinions trying to, you know, everyone's heading the same direction generally, aren't they?
Absolutely. And if they sat there and didn't say anything, then that wouldn't achieve much. But because they have things to say and people have different things to bring to the table, like it might be carer issues or it might be disability issues, so they have different things to bring to the table and everybody shares the information. For example, a little while ago there was one of the people brought an issue about insurance for cars and how when you insure your car, it costs so much more when you've got a wheelchair car than just normal insurance. So they started following up on that, which is great.
What would be the issue with insurance companies about, is it that the driver is considered less capable or that there's more wear and tear on the car because you're a wheelchair user?
No, it's actually when I went to get my car insured because it had been converted for the wheelchair access, it's really hard to get insurance. So then you're limited by the choice of providers. So then it becomes very expensive. So it's not about the capabilities, but it's more about your choice of insurance providers.
Well, I wonder why. Yeah, look, it never ceases to amaze me how there is money to be made or how there is a way to restrict people being independent livers.
Yeah.
When disability is involved, it's really interesting. You'd think that it would be great that people are able to use a vehicle, able to put a wheelchair in and able to move around freely.
Yeah, I don't see it's about money. I think it's about the red tape stuff and bureaucracy gone mad.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Just because I just was thinking, would it be more competitive between the few companies to get those dollars or people just don't really want to insure wheelchair users?
Well, it's more about the Australian standards and whether you can insure a car and the risk. I mean, it's all a bit complicated, really. But the outcome of what happened around the disability table was that they found different insurers, which was great. So then that brings in the competition.
Oh, yeah, great.
To bring the price down. So, but these are things as people with disabilities or carers, sometimes I just feel like I'm doing handstands, backflips and pirouettes just to get out the front door. And these are all the, as you say, the limitations that are, or barriers that are put in front of us that people who don't have to deal with them just don't get.
No, and it is, sometimes it is really cumbersome. Like even today for me, I went from here back to Footscray and then came back, but with construction next door, inability to get a taxi.
Yep.
Then someone took me in an Uber where I went to a rank to get a taxi, and I was just thinking, oh, if I had my own little car, not that I would drive here all the time, it just would have been a perfect day for that, you know, to use that and get from A to B. Like sometimes it does take longer.
Yeah.
And for friends of mine who are wheelchair users, when we often walk up to Victoria Street, you know, sometimes if that accessible tram doesn't come for a while, you are waiting longer than other people.
Yeah, and as I was saying this morning, I got up at 3:30 this morning to get Imogen ready because I had a breakfast appointment to go to, so I had to get meds ready, get a bag ready for, like, the things that you have to do to think ahead when you're caring for someone with a disability.
Yeah.
You know, you just sometimes I think, I must be mad.
Well, no, you're not mad. You're just doing the right thing.
Anticipate things, yeah.
Yeah, you've just got to be on the ball the whole time.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Imogen. What is the name of her syndrome or condition?
Imogen's got a muscle condition called Swartz-Jampel syndrome.
Which I've heard of before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have heard of before, but I don't know where from. So it was interesting when you sent me your book, I actually Googled it and looked it up, but it's a pretty interesting condition.
That's right. It's a muscle condition, makes her muscle stiff. So, but it manifests like she's got cerebral palsy. So she's 15, she doesn't walk or talk. She's also got cheeky child syndrome, I think, where she, you know, she'll do.
She's resisting.
Yeah, or where she's, you know, like she pulled her hair's hair the other day and then she had this evil look on her face, so she was pretty pleased with herself. So
she's probably saying, you know, it's my turn.
Yeah, she does.
And so with the care of Imogen, and she's not verbal.
That's right.
Do you communicate with the communication board, or she doesn't communicate?
She has one, but it's difficult to know if it's meaningful or not. She seems to respond, but in most part, I have to anticipate her needs like a baby, like an 8-month-old baby.
Yeah.
But she communicates with her eyes, like if she's happy or not, or if there's a strange person in the house, she looks at me like, "Is this bloke all right?"
Yeah. And you said bloke. Oh no, I'm just teasing you. So Imogen goes to Glenroy School. That's a bit of a hike.
That's right.
There's not enough schools, is there?
Well, there's schools in our area, but there's not schools that cater for her needs.
Yes.
She gets – the bus comes to home in the morning, picks her up. She likes the bus trip. She used to go to Diamond Valley Special Development School, which was great, which was caring.
Much closer.
And it was closer, but we're not in the bus zone.
Yeah.
So instead she has to go to a school that's much further away to get on the bus, which is just crazy.
That is crazy.
Mm.
Wow. So how long would she commute?
Must take them about 40 minutes from our place.
Yeah.
And she's the last child to be picked up. So the other kids are picked up about 7 o'clock. So that's about an hour and a half for kids.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of, you know, a lot to consider.
Yeah.
Now you've chosen a song today, which is a beautiful song, and it's by Helen Reddy. And why did you choose this particular song? It's You and Me Against the World.
Oh, You and Me Against the World, because it's our family's like a unit, so it's, you know, you and me, Aurelia and Imogen and me against the world. We're, you know,
you're tight.
Together. Yeah, tight, and we do things as a team, we do things as a family. So that's why it was significant to me.
Oh, that's great. All right. This is Helen Reddy, and I'm Liz Wright, and I'm here with Christine Stowe.
Tell me again, Mommy. Tell me again. You and me against the world. Sometimes it feels like you and me against the world. When all the others turn their backs and walk away, you can count on me to stay. Remember
when the circus came to town. And you were frightened by the clown. Wasn't it nice to be around someone that you knew? Someone who was big and strong and looking out for you. Sometimes it feels like you and me against the world. And for all the times we've cried, I always felt that God was on our side. Then remembering will have to do. Our memories alone will get us through. Think about the days of me and you. You and me against the world.
That's Christine Stowe's choice today. Oh, you love that song, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. It was even more poignant when listening to the words, you and me against the world. And I think we work as a team, the three of us. You know, when it's not me, it's Auraria or Imogen. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, we were just talking about that while this song was on as well, so we might as well keep talking about it, how it is funny when you are a kind of small family unit and you do have your own idiosyncratic family sort of stuff that you're that's just about you guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this kind of the secret, no, it's not secret, but, you know, the private things that you share.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Look, I was just saying that it's important to spend that time with Auraria. It's important for me to spend time with Imogen, but there was a period when I thought, oh, yes, she's doing all right. And I decided to take her out one night, just hang out at the movies and have a hamburger. And it just made a whole difference to our relationship. It made a difference to the way we shared things, and she shared things that I, you know, didn't realise that she was feeling. So I think it's important that we look after the siblings. Are important to look after your kids in that way.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, like, it's major important. As I start speaking bad grammatically, I don't know what I'm saying now. With your Bachelor of Science,
yep.
Did you work in the science field?
Yeah, I studied from a bachelor and finished it off while I was working at forensic science, so analysing drugs and blood alcohol. And then I went on to work in the environmental wow. field. And then I started studying a graduate diploma of engineering and technology management and moved into sales and ended up in medical sales. So I did work in the field for quite a while. And yeah. In fact, I was had a corporate role flying around Australia and New Zealand advising anaesthetists on how to use our products when had Imogen, found out there was something wrong, and it just set my world crashing in another direction to find out there's something wrong with Imogen.
Well, it can be really traumatic. Well, it is really traumatic, that's an understatement, when you don't know what's wrong with your child.
Yeah.
And then for the first while you feel like something's wrong till you learn to love or get to understand how your child is.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we grow up with that whole fantastic, you know, myth that all children are going to be you know, that they're not going to be harmed or impaired in any way. Mm. And, you know, that's just not the case. I mean, we know 1 in 20 people have a disability, and we know that there's many, many undisclosed disabilities. So that whole myth is just a myth. And, you know, people with disabilities survive and do well in this world.
I think it was a very rare condition, so that made it difficult because I didn't know what the outcome would be, whether she could walk or talk or whether she could see. So it was a really unknown thing, and I felt like, still feel like I was ripped off for that baby, that lovely baby when you bring home your new child. And I was on this treadmill of doctors and health professionals, physio, speech therapist, occupational therapist. It was like a merry-go-round that I couldn't get off.
Well, and I've had other guests who've been on this show who've had the trauma either occur to them, and by trauma I mean there is grief and absolute grief and, you know, unbelievable shock when life changes. Mm. Like one young woman who was on the show had been hit by a car and had been on a dancing, had been a dancing person. She now is doing something completely different and is fantastic. Mm. But we did talk about that shock of where you think your life is going or what experiences you might have. And parenting, when you unexpectedly have a child with a disability, is like that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the doctor saying, you'll feel so much better once you get a diagnosis. And I said, but she's still going to be the same child and I'll still love her the same way. It's not going to make any difference.
Yeah.
And we do love her. And I look back now and I think that she's a special gift. She doesn't have disability. She has extra ability, and that's the ability that she's given me to see things in a different way.
Wow. So the three of you are out there, out there in Whittlesea, and you have long-term plans to stay there, or, you know, is this a sort of life in flux where you might go on an adventure or do something different when the kids are grown up?
I imagine that I'll stay where I am, and Imogen will stay with me. And with the book, I hope to be able to go out and talk to other people, carers, politicians. I'd like to go on like a speaking circuit where I can tell people, inspire people, help other carers find their value in the community. So my vision is that Imogen will be with me and will have carers help me look after her while I'm helping other people also find their place and value in the community.
Well, one thing you should know for certain is she needs space away from you too, like all kids.
I heard that. I think she likes school better than she likes. She looks at me like, Mom.
Well, you know, that's a really great thing about people generally, is that we all like to be with other people, and part of growing up is having that independent break away from your parents, even if you still live at home and need the support and care of your mother.
Yeah.
I hope you do get the book on the circuit. I think that'd be great. Do you like public speaking? Do you like that kind of, are you comfortable in that arena?
You still get nervous when you have to speak publicly, but I'm getting comfortable with it and I'm getting lots of practice. And, of course, it's something that I'm passionate about, so then it becomes a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it does. So the book launch is with Senator Fifield.
That's right.
And you've invited family, friends and other key people. You're really looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. It's going to be a small ceremony, and I'm looking to have something bigger later on that will be more public at the City of Whittlesea in a location where everyone can access. So I'm also looking at writing a book or engaging other families with my view to inspiring other people. I'd like to get other families to write a chapter each of their own. So we're looking at having like a launch and a book signing where we can engage other families to also tell their story.
Look, that's a project in yourself, getting people to talk and, you know, share their stuff. That's a great project. And I think, you know, we all benefit by hearing stories of each other's lives and experiences.
And wouldn't it be great if they get the same kind of, you know, feeling of value that I've experienced in writing this book? That's what I'd like to do.
All right. We're just going to another little montage here. And it's Liz Wright here, and I'm in the studio with Councillor Christine Stowe.
Hi, this is Tanya, and you're listening to 3CR Radio. Happy International Day of People with Disability, and keep smiling.
I went for a jog in the city air. I met a woman in a wheelchair, said, I'm sorry to see your handicap. She says, what makes you think a thing like that?
I really don't like this concept of teaching people to see the person and not the disability. Then why can't people see a person with a disability and not freak out or not feel uncomfortable? You know, it's like that weird backhanded compliment that we get when people say, you know, oh, I don't think of you as disabled because you're my friend or you're really cool or because you're just like me. And can we not be all of those things? Can we not be cool and likeable and people's friends but not also be proud of our disabilities? I kind of hope that we can.
You out there are listening to 3CR AM.
So we moseyed on over there, but the only way in was up a flight of stairs.
Disability culture. What is it about? You can live life free. You can live life proud. You can be living out loud. Pass the word.
The revolution.
Coming out, getting down, making it big time. Disability cool. Disability hot. The red hot power of different with a capital D. Flaunting it. Sequins on the scars. I'm ready for my close-up. Mr. DeMille. It's all these magnificent bodies, electric, downright, flat out, digging it, digging it, digging it, digging it, digging who I am, me, in all my cripple holdings, coming at you from the inside out. Pass the word.
So, Christine, what do you guys do for Christmas? Are you celebrators?
Yeah, we're going to have, I'm planning on having a spit and having people over, a whole heap of people over to celebrate Christmas with us. So a whole lot of other single parent families looking forward
great.
To it.
Oh, yeah. Great. A spit's a commitment.
Yep.
Do you know how to do that?
No, I'm going to learn.
Wow. That's amazing. I've just started using my barbecue again because it's not so cold outside now. And it's like, oh, my God, this is great because it can just cook everything outside.
Yeah.
And do you do the whole big present thing and, you know, all of that, or are you low-key?
No, more low-key with, you know, just the immediate family. But at council, like, I go around giving everyone chocolates. Last year we went around with, you know, Santa hat on and handed out chocolates. They all looked at us a bit silly, but I think they were pleased to have a bit of cheer.
Look, and it's really good to meet your councillors. I think, you know, when you're a local government employee, to see the face of the people who are part of your workplace and representing the community, it's really good. And then are you heading off on holidays or do you hang out at home? Like, are you hanging out at home these holidays?
No, we're going to hang out at home these holidays, just have a low-key period in between. Council goes back fairly early. There's usually meetings early in January, so we won't be... Yeah, we'll be fairly quiet over Christmas issue.
Wow. And the kids have finished school early, so early this year.
Yeah.
Like my daughter finished today.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Now I've just got to, you know, the whole where are you going to go and what are you going to do sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky that Aurora is independent. She gets herself around. And I think that, again, comes from being a sibling of a child with special needs because she's had to be independent. She's had to do things before her time. For example, we went to the theme parks in Queensland one year and took Imogen, but Imogen couldn't go on the ride, so I had to go on her own. And
It is hard to do that sort of thing, like to go on rides on your own. You do get independent and you can do it. It holds you in good stead for later on when you're doing that thing of, like, I couldn't have a coffee in a coffee shop on my own for years because I just felt too self-conscious. And then now it's one of my great pleasures is just, you know, being on my own, just, you know, with quiet. I'd like to thank you for coming in today. Can you plug your book again, the title and how people can get it? And if people are interested, they can contact you.
Yeah, so it's not just Imogen's mother. And I've got a website, so it's christinestow.com.au. So it's christinestow.com.au. And if they're interested in talking about being part of a future book that we're going to have other families contribute the chapter to, then that'll be the place to go and make contact with me.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on this day, International Day of People with Disability. It's great to have you on the air and I'm sure we'll see each other around. Also, I'd just like to say that for those people who are still out and doing the International Day stuff today, there's a special Quippings performance at the Richmond Theatreette. That's on this evening. I think doors open at 6:30 or 7, and there's a show on. I think it's $20 full price and $10 concession. So there's still things on. You can get to the International Day for People with Disability website and check out what's left to do today. There is a flow over of activities, events around the state and the country as well over the next couple of days. So if I don't see you before Christmas, or if you don't hear from me, have a good one. Otherwise, for those of you that are back next week, I'll see you then. Bye. See you. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.